Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is the Takeaway Weekender. I'm Todd Swillick. Thanks so much for listening. This week, John Hockenberry spoke with Joss Stone about her latest album, Water for Your Soul. It's an album that sounds like a dark reggae-infused soul ballad. Stone worked with reggae pioneer Dennis Bavel and with Bob Marley's son, Damien. Stone says the album is all about the ups and downs of her relationships and her life, and she belts out a pretty respectable Aretha Franklin imitation, too.
Love me.
Joss, that was terrific.
Oh, thank you.
Spectacular.
Thank you very much.
And this album is some new, some not so new, but very much a journey of a lot of your experiences.
Yeah, definitely.
Particularly that song.
Yeah, for sure. That song we wrote with Damien Marley. That was a lovely experience. I met him through another project we were doing. We were part of a band, and he had a studio just down the way from the studio we were making our band in. And at night, we would play reggae. It was so much fun. And, you know, lovely writing sessions came out of that. So it's been good, you know. The album's like, there is a lot of reggae on it, but it is mixed with a lot of different influences. It's really, I guess, world music influenced as well. So.
Well, we'll talk about that. But I certainly learned from this song that if I were to date you, I would end up in your song, possibly.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Whether I'm good or bad.
Very true.
Yeah, very true.
It's true. You know, I have these, I pendulum, as I've been told. So I'll go from one moment, oh, I love him, to next moment, oh my God, I could kill him, you know. So that's all in my album. It's all in my lyrics. It's quite an emotional roller coaster hanging out with me.
And it's just like life.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
You know, in the 60s, the British invasion was a pretty straight take of American R&B, where you know, people like Mick Jagger just tried to take R&B and do it, almost imitate it. You're in a much more complicated zone here, where it's part American, it's part world music. It's a very different mix.
Yes.
And you're more a part of it. You're not entering into it. If you're in Britain, you know, in the Amy Winehouse era, you know, you're black, white, you're everything.
Yes, exactly. It's a nice thing, actually. You know, when I first began, it was really like, you know, you're jumping into something. And I didn't even realize I was jumping into it, to be honest, because I just listened as a kid and I sang the type of songs that I liked to listen to. And it wasn't so much, you know, who sings that and where are they from? It wasn't the question. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that is. I suppose it's different maybe because of the TV and internet and things like that.
BBC mixes it up. BBC 4, BBC 5 and all the radio in Britain mixes everything up.
Yeah. And we're a small place too, you know. So really, we've got to just take from everywhere and just mash it up. Otherwise, we'd just be singing, you know, hymns in church and, you know, we'd just be stuck with one sound.
Or you'd be doing doing the whole empire thing, and that's so expensive. You
know? It really is.
You lose friends then.
Totally.
It's much better just do the music.
Just open your arms and enjoy.
When did you learn that you had a big voice?
Oh, well, I think, you know, I used to try my best to sing along with Aretha Franklin.
That's a high bar.
That's high. Yeah. And I never really could meet that bar. But it's good to kind of practice and learn from someone that is always going to be better than you. That's a really good thing. She's like the queen, the creme de la creme, as it were.
Well, not only better, but, you know, horsepower. In terms of power.
Yeah. Yeah, she is a monster singer, like really amazing. So that was my kind of baby ears were hearing that. And then I would like try it. And sometimes it would go terribly wrong. But I did notice in my young singing life, that's all people ever wanted me to do. I actually found it quite annoying. It was like, go on, Joss, do that thing where you go up there and go for it. And I was like, but but my voice is tired and I can't do it. I just want to sing soft, you know. But now I mix the two.
Who's soft that you like?
Who's soft? Oh, Roberta Fleck, definitely. And also, I know Gladys Knight is strong, but she has that really gorgeous when she does that. Mm. Oh, my God, I love that. That's just, I could listen to her hum, you know, just forever.
Well, it's a pop thing, but it's also a gospel thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So do that Aretha thing that everyone asked you to do that wrecks your voice.
No, I can't. I couldn't possibly. Not now we've mentioned her name.
People
will be like, excuse me, lady. Mention Mrs. Franklin's
name. I'll apologize for you. No, Aretha loves the fact that people interview her, imitate her.
That
little
I gave up imitating
girls.
Her a long time ago. I think she might kill me if I do that.
What's your? Let's just do it this way then. What's your Aretha gear?
The Aretha gear is...
What's that sound like?
It's louder.
Yeah.
Let me think. So what have we got? We got Newborn. If I was to sing... Where am I? Everybody walk hand in hand. Get hold of your lane and push it together. Stuff like that.
That's nice.
And they'd be like, go on, do it again, do it again.
No, I won't
like,
do that. I won't do
no,
that.
I don't know.
That's great, though. Did you do that around the house when you were little?
Yeah. My dad would shout up the stairs, just stop soling all over the place. You know, he would kind of tell me to shut up. So, yeah.
Musical family?
Not really, no. But a very encouraging family. My mum is very creative and my dad... He has really good taste in music, listens to a lot of great music, and he can really hold a tune. So I guess if you put those two things together, then that's me, I suppose.
So he'd harmonize with you?
No. I don't think he could figure that out. But, but you know, when he sings You'll Never Walk Alone. That's our football anthem.
He's a softie.
Oh, yeah.
He's a tearjerker.
Football hooligan / softie.
But they're all softies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They tear up at the end
exactly.
Every time.
They always tear up.
Yeah, that's my dad. That's him. And he will sing it in any bar, in any place in the world. In fact, they didn't let him on a plane once because he was singing in the bar at the airport and they thought he was drunk. But actually, no, he just loves Liverpool FC. And that's the song. So, yeah, he sings You'll Never Walk Alone like a beaut.
Oh, that's so great. Why do you want to play in every country in the world?
You know, I think there's a couple of different reasons why. The overwhelming reason is I feel like, why should we leave places out? I suppose it's just me being literal. Like, so the term a world tour for me always meant exactly what I'm trying to do. It always meant, oh, so you play a gig in every country in the world. I guess that's just my way of thinking it. And then when I realized that wasn't the case, and then I started to think, well, how come? Why we leave this one out? And then your mind wanders a little further, and then you realize, well, there's an answer to that question, and that's purely because they don't pay you enough. It's all about money. So I think that's a bit rough. So I'm kind of like, well, hang on. So we leave this place out because there's not enough money over there. Well, hang on, there's still people there. They still listen to the music, a lot of places. So that's kind of where the idea started. It's like not putting one place above another. But then, you know, now it's really spread. There's lots of different reasons why. I mean, music really brings people together in a beautiful manner anyway.
So it's part wanderlust. It's part wanting to say yes to everyone.
Yes.
So it's an embrace.
Yeah, I suppose it is. Yeah, it's definitely a big embrace. Song, Newborn, is really about that. It's like, it says... get hold of your land and push it all together as if there was no separation. And I think music helps us do that. There is no separation, you know. I can talk to somebody while singing and we don't understand each other's language at all, but yet we completely understand each other. That's an amazing thing. I love that. So in each place we collaborate with someone from that country and then you have experiences like that. I mean, it's really cool, man.
When did you, and is reggae something you grew up with or is reggae a leap for you?
Yeah, reggae's kind of part of the food, I suppose, in the UK. There's a lot of reggae and soul music kind of everywhere, really. Mm-hmm. I guess because we're a melting pot.
So how did you and Damien get together?
So that happened because of Dave Stewart. So Dave called me and asked me to be part of this band, which was a supergroup in a way. So it was Mick Jagger, Dave and Damien and A.R. Rahman. So we had a lot of lovely different sounds.
Yeah, that's a super group. That is a super group.
I guess it is a super group.
Nobody ever asked me to be in a super group.
Aw, maybe one day.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to ask me.
That's great.
You never know what can happen.
Yeah,
I felt pretty chuffed that I was the chick, you know? Like, I felt like, oh, my God, I get to be Fergie, you know? I loved it. I thought I was so chuffed. So, you know, that was the project.
And so the two of you sort of eyed each other from across the band sort of said, we're going to.
That's exactly
work.
Right.
Yeah, huh?
We did. It was funny because I really met him musically first before I chatted to him.
Mm-hmm.
We just got in a circle. And every day, actually, we did that. We all kind of got our, they got their instruments. I got my pencil. And we just jammed every day.
And, you know, you describe how these reggae jams turned into real songs. I mean, you dream that happens. Often you listen to those tapes and you go, that was dreadful.
But
you got some real gold here.
Yeah. Yeah, I do feel like some of them were good, but some of them weren't, you know. The ones that weren't, you never get to hear.
I'm glad you said that.
No, that some of them aren't so great. Yeah. But it's nice when it does work out. I find that when you listen to the writing sessions, a lot of the things that just happen, they stay. You know, so like the lyrics, for me, maybe it's laziness. I don't know what it is, but whatever comes out of my mouth in that thought, in that first thought, that's what is the lyric for the actual song. I kind of like that because it's like it's a story that's floating about and you capture it and rein it in and then give it to the people. I quite like the process and how we can grab a moment and then take it into the future in a way.
And it keeps lyrics simple. I think lyrics in pop music today are some of them are really dreadful.
A little too complicated.
Way too complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear a song that has like, you know.
Not everything has to rhyme, I suppose.
Yeah, it doesn't have to rhyme. And I can't think of an example right now, but there are some songs where there's a word in there. It's like, that word is not supposed to be
right
in a pop song.
It's and then making up the words is brilliant too.
That's better.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. It's so funny to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could go on and on and on here.
We could.
Yeah, we could.
There's so much I want to tell you.
Yeah. Well, tell me one more thing and then we'll end.
Okay, so I guess what's most exciting about this record for me is not so much, I mean, the reggae thing I love, obviously, the soul thing I love, but it's the world influence that I'm very excited about being part of that. Because I've never had that on any record before. And some of these instruments, I didn't even know the name of them before. So it's kind of brand new to me. And I don't know whether it'd be brand new to my fans or not, but it certainly is here. So that really excites me. So we've got the Arabic sarod on Stuck on You. We've got Brazilian rhythms and Irish fiddles and Indian flute, flamenco guitar. Like, I love all those bits. I think that makes it special for me. So that's what I have to say.
why do Brits always want to escape being Brit?
I honestly think it's because it's small.
Yeah.
You know, like in America, you can go anywhere. You can go skiing. You can go to like an island vibe. You can go like sunbathing. You can do whatever you want. You can go in a cave if you want. You know. Yeah, you guys have it like good, you know. Yeah. You've got a lot of different places to go. You've got a lot of different countries in one country. That's how I see it. And we just, you know, it's small. We've got to travel. I guess that's kind of the Columbus vibe.
The Columbus vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, keep doing it. It's so great to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Jo.
Thank you.
Love me from your soul. Take me as the one. bones. Promise you my eyes, put your lips on my kiss, please.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Takeaway Weekender. We'll see you on Monday. Until then, you can check everything out at thetakeaway.org. Have a great weekend.